Okay, we are going to continue in the topic that we started last time. How do you know that there is God? How do you know that there is God? And remember, we went through last time many religions, and many religions have different ideas about God. But I showed from the time how in the book of Genesis, it says that Genesis 1:5, how God called the light day, and the darkness he called time. In darkness he called night. And even I showed you how time proves the existence of God, because the absence from time would be eternal. In time there's a beginning, there's an end. So, and we saw that we live according to the time. And, even the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, and all these things are perfectly, so minutely organized. And for it to be organized so precisely, there has to be God. And also we saw, I went on to show that how everything is so organized, so precisely organized, and it's been organized by an infinitely knowledgeable God who is powerful and all-knowing. And also we saw the beauty of the universe. And, olden days how people thought that the earth was flat, but the Bible said in the book of Isaiah the circle of the earth, that is Isaiah 40:21, we saw the Bible calls about the circle of the earth. Isaiah was born, Isaiah lived probably about 800 years before Christ. And also we saw how the earth rotate itself on its own axis, and how we saw the speed of the earth, and how these things are, how beautifully even the earth is, the way it's been situated, and how it speed around it, speeds around its axis at such a speed, and it's impossible for it to rotate it on its own axis by itself. And so I gave you some examples. So when you have a car, your car needs maintenance, but the car will wear down eventually, but the earth, it doesn't stop rotating on its own. Now I'm going to continue that the intelligence behind the beautiful precise order, the intelligence behind the precise order. Now, if you went on vacation and forgot to close your windows, during a vacation you heard that there was a hurricane in your area. You heard on the radio there was a hurricane. And so you abandon your vacation and you go back home, and you found your entire home is in disorder, as the hurricane had a mighty effect on your home, and there's severe damage to your home. Everything inside is all scattered, and some of the things are all destroyed. How can you put these things back together in an orderly fashion? And here, the person who can put these things back in an orderly fashion have to be an intelligent being. You need to have a brain to think. And you need to really organize things. And you need to have wisdom, knowledge, and a brain to think. An intelligent person who can build your home back and put everything in order. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Here we see how God in the earth was without form, without any form, how God, the Almighty, all-powerful, intelligent God, put everything in order. Because order requires, remember this, order requires wisdom and intelligence. If you want to order, if you want to put anything in order, even if you go to a restaurant, you see how beautifully everything is put in order. You go to your workplace and you see everything is in order. You go anywhere, even on the road, how everything is in order. There are traffic lights, there are policemen. Even take anything, you see everything is in order because there is a person behind it who had wisdom and intelligence to put that thing in order. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 says, he's talking about God, about Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And here we see in Jesus, you can see everything is hidden. We can see the visible universe, but we don't see anybody behind it operating in a mechanical way. But everything is hidden where our naked eye cannot see, in the treasures of wisdom and the knowledge of God. Just imagine the airplane, a car, a microwave, a computer, which all of them are created by an intelligent person, intelligent being who have knowledge and wisdom. They're all composed in an orderly fashion. Do you know that a Boeing 747 jetliner is made of 6 million parts and they all doesn't fly in different directions? There is perfect order. There is intelligence behind it. Even in your home, there is order when you come. You know, you come to your home, you have your dining table, you have your kitchen, you have your restroom, and you have everything is in order. Even how poor you are, you have order. Your home, there's a roof, and there is a foundation, and there are walls, and everything is in order. When you go, as I said, you go to a hotel and there is an order. Everything is set in order. So order requires what? What did I say? This is essential. Order requires wisdom and intelligence. God created the heavens and the earth, and there is order. God is the intelligence, wisdom behind order. He who created the heavens and the earth is infinitely powerful, and he has an infinite wisdom and intelligence where our limited minds cannot comprehend. We can comprehend only from the telescope when we look at the universe, because that's all the limit we have. Because we are limited beings and we have limited knowledge. However, how much knowledge we get, of course, we are living in computerized society. Everybody has cell phones today. About 15 years ago, we didn't even know what was a cell phone. And so here we see, we are saying, oh, we are gaining knowledge. Yes, we do. But that knowledge is still limited. So here, because we are limited beings, but the whole concept of the universe, the earth, everything, the order how God created it, we cannot comprehend it, because God is infinitely powerful. He has an infinite wisdom and knowledge. Not to believe in God who created the heavens and the earth, you know, if you say God did not create this earth and the universe, although it's in perfect order, it's like a hurricane going through a warehouse, and out of that warehouse at the other end comes a beautiful Boeing 747 aircraft. Now that is impossible. You don't have to go to school to know that there is God. You don't need to be educated to know that there is God. the creation of God is loudly proclaimed when we look up into the skies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all around the earth. The book of Psalm chapter 8 verse 3 says, "When I looked at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." Just look at it. It's set in so precisely in order. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day unto day pours out its speech, and night after night it reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are the words whose voice is not heard." So here, God's creation of the earth and the universe is being proclaimed every single day. And you don't have to know a language to know. You don't have to go to school to know. You don't have to learn different languages or do have to go to school to know. It is proclaimed for every single person for us to see. Verse 4 says, their voice goes out all through the earth. That means from the United States to England to all the countries that are in the islands, and even the tiny little nations where they don't even have any schools or anything like that. Uncivilized nations, people who live in the jungles or in the caves, even they see the power of God. And it goes on to say, "In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man run its course with joy." You know, whether you like it or not, whether you are in a bad mood or a good mood, whether you believe in God or not, the sun will rise, and the sun will set, and the sun will rise again the next day and the other day. And this, the sun is not like, it's not like us. "Oh, I don't feel good today. I don't feel like going to work." No. The sun will rise with joy. Even when there are earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, the sun will still rise with joy. Then verse 6 goes on to say, "It is rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat." You know, previously we saw the speed of the earth on its rotation. At the same time, the earth is also moving around the sun. You know, I told you how the earth rotates on its axis at a tremendous speed. At the same time, the earth is also moving around the sun at the speed of about 67,000 miles per hour. In our Milky Way galaxy, there are numerous asteroids, comets, and meteorites. It is estimated that a billion of meteorites enters our atmosphere every single day. It's, you know, just imagine. It's like an airplane is guided in the sky by a pilot. And who guides the earth? The speed of the earth is about 1,000 miles per hour, as we said, on its axis. And at the same time, it is moving around the sun at the speed of about 67,000 miles per hour. There are numerous asteroids, comets, meteorites on Earth's way. Who is guiding the earth so the earth will not hit any of these foreign objects? And you go to sleep, and you wake up, and the earth and the sun still comes, and nothing hit you. Just imagine. It is God Almighty, the ruler of the earth. He is the sovereign governor of the universe. He is the one who is guiding the earth through at a terrific speed around the sun, with all these comets and meteorites and asteroids, and all everything are there, and nothing has been hit, and God guides it. Who is holding the universe together in order? God Almighty. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For by him all things are created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things are created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him all things hold together." The word "hold" there is like stronger than super glue. Okay, that's the Greek word. It's so strong, and everything is hold together, held together in God Almighty. Let me tell you a story, a true story. Sir Isaac Newton, he was a Christian, and he was a scientist, a British scientist. And he had a friend who did not believe in God. So what he did was, he had a very skilled mechanic who made him a miniature replica of the solar system, with balls representing the planets geared together by cogs and bells, so as it moves so in harmonious way when it's cranked. Later Newton, when he had this in his room, his unbelieving scientist friend came and he saw this. And when he saw this, his friend he came and his friends saw this and he was amazed. And he saw how beautifully, marvelously is being made, somebody made this. So he slowly, at the same time, Newton turned the crank, and so his unbelieving friend saw all the heavenly bodies all move in their relative speed, in their orbits, and standing off a few feet, he was astonished, and he asked Newton, "My, what an exquisite thing this is. Who made this? Who created this?" Without looking up, Newton answered, "Nobody." Quickly turning to Newton, the infidel, unbelieving friend said, "Evidently, you did not understand my question. I asked, who made it? Who created it?" And looking up, Newton assured him that nobody made it, because his unbelieving friend doesn't believe in a creation. So his unbelieving friend was astonished, and he said, you must think that I'm a fool. Of course someone made it, and he has to be a genius, and I would like to know who made it." Laying his book aside, Newton rose and laid a hand on his friend's shoulder. And he said, "This thing is but a tiny little imitation of a much of a grander system, whose laws you know. I'm not able to convince you that the mere toy is without a designer and a maker. Yet you profess to believe that the great original from which is the design is taken, that is the whole universe that we live in and the earth, is, you'd say, that it's without a designer or a maker. Now tell me, what sort of reasoning do you reach such an, you know, absurd conclusion?" So, you gotta believe that there is God. If there is anything in the universe is arranged by chance, just think about it. If there's anything in the universe that is arranged by chance, And the creation of the earth is arranged by chance. And the speed of the earth rotating on its axis and the speed of the earth moving around the sun, around probably around 67,000 miles per hour, is by chance. Not anything, like a comet or an asteroid or meteorites or nothing is being hit. Okay, at this tremendous speed, it's just like if you think everything is arranged, everything is by chance, it's like you're going in your car on the freeway or on the highway like 50 miles per hour, but you are blindfolded. But nothing is going to hit you. Now that is impossible. You're going to hit somebody the minute you are blindfolded and go in the car. So you drive perfectly around the bends, blindfolded. You go in a busy street without hitting anybody, without an accident. And after about 1,000 miles, you're gone and you come home and take your blindfolds away. Oh, wow, that was a good trip. It is impossible, my friend. Got to be, there has to be somebody in control, a person that has wisdom, knowledge, and who knows what he's doing. So everything is governed, created by God and governed by God. It's not by chance. If it's by chance, you need to have a lot of faith to believe that. And that's not impossible, because Christian faith is not a blind faith. It is an intelligent faith. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this message. We pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, the most powerful, Almighty, the great God, the Creator God, who created this universe, the earth, and everything what is visible and invisible. Lord, we pray that this message will go out to people who doesn't believe in you, Lord, and that you will open their hearts, Lord. You will open their minds, Lord, that they will come to know who you are. We pray, Lord, that you will bring salvation to them, that you will be magnified and glorified, as all of us will fall at your feet one day and worship you. We ask, Lord, that you be glorified and magnified in what we do in our lives, in what we think, how we act. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would be the image, your image to this world that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would use us.